It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis at 10 p.m. right here at 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com. Of course, 77 WABC, the leading talk show, the leading talk radio station in the U.S., and of course, regionally in the New York, New Jersey metro area. Of course, thank you to New York. Nielsen Ratings has this show in the top 10 once again in New York AM radio, and it's thanks to the great listeners of the show and 77 WABC. This show on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business insights on so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, hiring, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, and to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays an important support role, in particular Srilly, Rina, Miriam, Rifki, Dina, thank you. And of course, to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. And I'd like to give mention and a thank you to the various channels that this program, Mind Your Business, is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. Previous episodes featured the interview we had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Greg Chalker of Capital One, Christine Comerford, and of course the founders of Warby Parker. We're also on C-Suite TV, C-Suite Radio, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. And the easiest way to access all past episodes is by going to mybradio.com. And of course, that's how you could pick up the show around the world as well, mybradio.com. Also, thank yous to some previous guests that we've had. And of course, you can access their interviews by going to mybradio.com. John Sculley, as mentioned, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi. Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. Dr. Adrian Boise, the chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Of course, Jerry Robert of Blackheart Books. He's in town this weekend. Paul Massey of Cushman & Wakefield. Stephen Sato, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. Jay Baer. Christine Comerford, as I mentioned, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Captain Sully Sullenberger, and again, over 100 other guests that we've had here on this program. Special thank you to them, and of course, their episodes, many of them with video, are available by going to mybradio.com. Again, that's mybradio.com. Without further ado, we go to tonight's guest, Eric Barker. He is a noted thought leader. And his most recent book, I believe it's the most recent book, is Barking Up the Wrong Tree. Listen to this, folks. Barking Up the Wrong Tree, the surprising science behind why everything you know about success is mostly wrong. We're going to find out what's on Eric's mind. So stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we will discuss so many topics, including how to perform your best and optimize your work habits, why most of the things that people think are successful might actually be wrong, and how to utilize today's media to gain traction and influence. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Eric Barker. Eric, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. So tell us, you know, before we start getting into the meat and potatoes, tell us a little bit about your journey.
My journey has basically been, I had a very unconventional career, and I started asking a lot of questions about, you know, the maxims of success that we grew up with. Nice guys finish last. It's not what you know, it's who you know. They're pithy little sayings, but they've never really been tested. And on my blog, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, for the past 8 years, I've looked at academic research and talked to experts in their field to try to get, you know, answers on, you know, what are the legitimate answers to what makes for a better life. And with the book, I really wanted to focus on those maxims and kind of give them the Mythbusters treatment and see, you know, whether they're just pithy little sayings or whether they really hold up when we look at them under the rigor of academic research and people who are true, unquestionable experts. and to see whether these things hold up, when they're true, when they're not true, and basically how we can use them to be more successful in career and in our personal lives.
Now, you mentioned your blog. Now, I mean, there's amazing data on there. I mean, you have a recent one, How to Stop Being a Pushover, 5 Secrets from Research. This is How to Recover from Tragedy, 4 Secrets from Research, Neuroscience. And you have over 315,000 subscribers. My first question is, your blog name is rather interesting. Had you come? I mean, it's not
the URL,
Barker blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, what is it, and what's behind that?
It was an odd little choice on my part. When I started the blog, I was just kind of looking at interesting insights and research to try and confirm or disconfirm a lot of beliefs we've all had. And it wasn't as focused. So I just picked a fun URL, and I learned the first day of Japanese class in college that my last name means moron in Japanese. So the URL of my blog, it means I am Barker. It also means I'm an idiot, because they're the same sentence. So I just thought that would be a fun little clever URL for the blog.
Oh, man. So, okay, interesting. Obviously the amount of subscribers that you have and the success of your book proves you're not an idiot, so that...
oh, it's been a long journey, let me tell you.
Now, what are the top tips for gaining traction and awareness?
I mean, you know, in terms of gaining traction and awareness, you know, information used to be really hard to come by, you know, pre-internet. The real issue was distribution. And now distribution is ubiquitous and free with the internet. So it's less of an issue of getting ideas out there. Anybody can make their ideas universally accessible for almost nothing. So I think the quality, we all have more content than we can read, listen to, or watch today. But what we're looking for, good answers, solid answers, and also ones that are accessible. I mean, a lot of the information I point to or pull from, you know, is freely available. They're academic research papers, but they're nearly unreadable. So it's like reading business contracts. So I think the real critical issue here is the quality of information and the accessibility of information, because there's tons of stuff out there, but what's legit and what actually, you know, read, enjoy, and learn from. So I think that's really the emphasis, is getting good information that people can actually read and use.
Now, when you mention to people about your blog, how do you refer to it? Do you just give the letters, or you pronounce it?
Barking up the wrong tree. It's just the URL is a little difficult to spell.
Right. Interesting. My guest this evening is Eric Barker. He wrote the book, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success Is Mostly Wrong. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com. The complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's C-suite. SUITETV.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC. And of course, around the world on two different ways, either on the 77 WABC app or at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. My guest this evening is Eric Barker, a noted thought leader. His blog has all types of fascinating business material. BAKADESUYO.com. If you're curious why it has that rather strange name, you'll listen to the archives and you'll know why. We did discuss that. His book, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, of course, is available at bookstores nationwide, Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com. The name of the book is Barking Up the Wrong Tree. It's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, and the subtitle is The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success is Mostly Wrong. And with that, I'm going to ask you the next question, Eric. You know, tell me, why do you say that everything we know about success is wrong?
Basically, what I did is I took those maxims of success, and each chapter breaks down, you know, the maxim, whether it's, you know, nice guys finish last, or, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know, or quitters never win, winners never quit. And kind of like I look at the research and break down whether it's true or not. And, you know, and it's just a lot more nuanced. Obviously, if these sayings were so quick and easy and applied in all circumstances, then we'd all be incredibly successful. And obviously, the world is a little more nuanced than that. So I go down, you know, looking at each one of them and talk about in which cases they might be true, but in a lot of cases they're not.
So, Eric, I just have to ask you. I mean, so you've busted a lot of myths. What's the, I don't know, maybe the top myth you busted, or maybe you care to share a couple?
Yeah. One of the top myths is, you know, when people talk about nice guys finish last, and Adam Grant is a professor at Wharton at the University of Pennsylvania, and Adam's a pretty nice guy himself. And basically, he broke people up into three categories, givers, takers, and matchers. And givers are people who give altruistically, don't expect anything in return. Takers are people who try to get as much as possible, give little back. And matchers are people who generally try and keep an even balance of give and take. And when he looked at the data, at first, the initial results, it looked like nice guys finish last. Givers were disproportionately represented at the bottom of success metrics. This was a little depressing for Adam, who's a pretty nice guy.
Right.
But then when he looked at the full results, what he realized was it was bimodal. You had givers disproportionately represented at the bottom and at the top. And so what you saw was the people who give altruistically usually either end up at the very bottom, or they're actually the most successful people. And it kind of makes intuitive sense when you think about it. We all know some people who do too much for others. They're martyrs. They get exploited by takers. They do too much for others, not enough for themselves. But we all also know people who are very kind, very giving. Everybody rushes to help and support them because they're such good people and they do very well in life. So it's less of an issue of nice guys finishing last as it is, you know, nice guys making sure that they just do a few things, that they're not exploited by takers, that they're surrounded by people who help them. And in those situations, when they make sure that they're not complete martyrs, they're actually more successful than anyone else.
Now, folks, Eric is sharing some great stuff with us. And, of course, if you buy the book, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, it's a Wall Street Journal bestseller, you'll see all the myths. But, Eric, you care to share any other ones with the listeners?
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at the issue of you know, it's when people talk about it's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that when you look at like introverts versus extroverts, you know, people always say, oh, be a people person. And the truth is that extroverts do very well in terms of networking. And networking turns out to be critical in terms of not only getting a job, but also moving forward. The data definitely supports that. You know, however, the flip side of that that people don't usually talk about is there's also research that shows that I forget the academic jargon is something like, extroversion is inversely correlated with individual proficiency, which is fancy academic speak for the more extroverted you are, the worse you are at your job. and basically what you see there, again, once you decode it, makes intuitive sense. And that is there's great advantages to having a big network, to knowing lots of people. It brings a lot of opportunities your way. However, the more time you're spending with people, often you're spending less time in the trenches with skill development. And that's very often what you see is that extroverts have powerful networks, but introverts are usually the experts in their field because they have spent the time alone working on their skills. So again, it's not this black and white issue of be a people person and that what you know doesn't matter. You know, certainly if you're talking about positions perhaps like sales, you know, knowing lots of people, connecting with people is very important. However, if it's an issue like, you know, computer programming or writing, networking is not nearly as important as individual skill development. So we need to make sure that we're doing both. Most people who are, you know, who are very much introverts need to work on building their people skills. But, you know, people out there who might have great networks also need to spend some time in the trenches working hard because we often think some other really interesting research is we often think that, oh, leaders need to be people. You know, they need to be focused on people. They need to have great people skills. Now, people skills always help. But what the data shows is that if you're leading a very unmotivated group of people, then extroverts do very well because they're energized, they're pushing, they're talking to people. However, if you're leading a bunch of A players, a bunch of very self-motivated people, introverts actually do better because they give the basic guidance, basic goals, and then they shut up and get out of the way. So it often depends on who the people you're leading are. Leadership is not always a game of extroverts, of who you know. Sometimes what you know is critical as well. So again, another myth that doesn't hold up exactly as we were raised when we look at the data.
Fascinating insight. Let's move on to social media, and you talk about networks and, of course, extending the network via social media. Soon I'll get to Twitter. I have a great question for you on Twitter, but how important is it for a thought leader to have a strong social media presence?
I mean, a strong social media presence, you know, I mean, can definitely help. But, you know, increasingly, you know, what we see is that they're not all created equal. You know, Twitter, certain groups, you know, of people are on Twitter or are not on Twitter. Twitter does not have as high engagement. You know, Facebook has much higher engagement. But with Facebook, you know, Facebook uses an algorithm. So you might have a very large audience, but unless you're paying for advertising dollars, you're not actually reaching them because the algorithm might not be showing your stuff to those people. On the flip side, what you see is that, you know, direct email, a large email list, is still, you know, it's not as sexy as Snapchat or Instagram, but the conversion rates, the engagement rates are far higher for email than most of the more popular, hip, cutting edge, you know, like again, Snapchat, Instagram, even Facebook and Twitter. email has the best results in terms of community engagement.
Once we're on the subject of social media, perhaps you could also give your thoughts on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn can be, you know, can be powerful, you know, if you have a very large audience. The issue with LinkedIn is that while a percentage of people who are very active in the business community, especially HR professionals, have a large and very engaged following on there, a lot of people, they only check LinkedIn when they're looking for a job or, you know, or when they're unemployed. So LinkedIn is a great way to reach a specific community of business professionals, but it doesn't have the wide-ranging reach of, you know, of Facebook or of email.
Great, great perspective. As I mentioned before, coming to your Twitter feed, is a really fantastic mix of knowledge and humor. I just retweeted one of the ones that you retweeted. The one, folks, listen to this one: study : moderate inebriation prevents you from getting stuck in a mental rut when generating creative solutions. Can alcohol fuel creativity? All right, folks, check it out. I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, Eric Barker, again, his Twitter handle is the same as his blog, as the URL of his blog. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's best for people to just either Google the blogger book's name, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, or Google my name, Eric Barker, because trying to spell my Twitter handle or my blog's URL is more challenging. So just Googling Barking Up the Wrong Tree or Googling Eric Barker is probably the route that won't drive you crazy.
So you have this great mix. Is that I'm going to ask kind of a duh question. I mean, is that intentional? Obviously it is. Okay. Why do you feel it's important to go that route?
I'm sorry, what route?
Sure. The route of having this great mix of, you know, of thought, knowledge, and yet, you know, humor. You know, you're human and there's just fun stuff in there as well.
I think accessibility, you know, is really critical because, you know, like I said, a lot of the research I'm drawing on is accessible. You know, if you want to go and read university research, it's all the abstracts at least are out there, but they're not fun to read. It's like reading insurance contracts. So, you know, making stuff fun, making it enjoyable, putting it in language that we all understand. You know, that's what we need. Nobody wants to talk to, you know, to get, you know, an actuary or insurance adjuster or, you know, that's not fun stuff. I mean, so it's like putting it in natural language and just having some fun with it, but still getting the real point across. I think, you know, that's the sugar that makes the medicine go down.
Yeah. I mean, I relate to that, and I appreciate the feedback I always get from the listeners. This show is very conversational. It's not like you said, a dry corporate approach. It's rather an engaging, fun, conversational way of communicating information that's important and serious information. I mean, we interview many C-level executives, but still, every C-level executive is a human being. I mean, the robots haven't taken us out yet.
Very true.
Yeah, well, yet, you know, we don't know how soon that's coming, but
it's a matter of time.
Oh man, my guest this evening is none other than Eric Barker. His book, a Wall Street Journal bestseller, Barking Up the Wrong Tree: The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success Is Mostly Wrong. Pretty cool, and he's sharing a lot of great findings that he has had in working on this fantastic book. As mentioned, you can find out more about the book by, the truth is, it's available at bookstores nationwide, and you can go, if you just Google Eric Barker, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, you'll see about his book and his amazing blog that has a general consistent feed of thoughts on business and beyond. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. to see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group. Visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com. That is csuitenetwork.com to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-suite executives like you.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the Newark, New Jersey metro area. And a special thank you to the wonderful listeners of the show. We continue to remain in the top 10, according to Nielsen, here in the New York metro area on New York's AM radio. Special thank you to all of you for that. It's a true honor. My guest this evening is Eric Barker. He wrote the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success is Mostly Wrong. He's shared quite a bit already thus far, in case you're just tuning in. No worries. By Tuesday morning, this edition, the episode, will be up on iTunes and the various other channels that we're on, as mentioned, Player.fm, Audio Boom, and so many others. So no worries, you can catch the beginning of the show where Eric did share tremendous information. Eric, now let's move to some practical tips. First of all, what are your top productivity hacks?
Top productivity hacks. I think one thing that's really critical is figuring out your hotspots. And that is for everybody. You know, we have a schedule that, you know, maybe, you know, locked down, you know, there may be rigid times and there may be more flexible times, but I think everybody finds that they get in a groove, you know, at particular times, and they find other times where just nothing gets done. And we maybe have a visceral kind of gut connection with those, but most people don't actually take the time to, say, mark it down on a schedule and see if it's consistent. What I say by hotspots is some people are morning people, and they realize they go into the office, they sit down, and for that first hour, man, they really crank through tons of stuff. And then they get to lunch, they come back after lunch, they're a little sleepy, and, you know, just nothing gets done. Or we've all stayed up a little bit too late, and you're screwing around surfing on the web, and that's time you could be sleeping or maybe actually getting stuff done. And I think just noting, you know, over the course of a week or two, if you see a consistent trend, here's a hot spot where, man, this is an hour or two where I'm really cranking, I get stuff done, and here's an hour or two where nothing good ever comes of this. And to just mark those down, and then to make that a part of your schedule, because we often talk about time, but what we don't talk about is energy. And the truth is, we all know that in there are some hours where we are three times as productive, and there's some hours where we're as a quarter as productive. And if we can maximize those, then in some ways we actually have more than 24 hours in a day. If we make sure that the hard work, the really cognitively intensive work, gets done in those magic hours when you are really cooking, and if you save those the busy work, the crap tasks, or you make sure you're done by those hours where you don't get as much work out, moving around the times when you have that energy and you've looked at your schedule, and over the course of 2 weeks you see this is a consistent pattern. If you shift your work to the great degrees, hey, that time when I'm low energy, that's the time to schedule that phone call or that meeting, that conference call, versus that presentation I need to do. Let me put that during that hour where I'm always getting things done. I think looking at your energy, tracking that, and then scheduling around the times when you're at your best, at your worst, can make a huge difference without adding more hours to your schedule.
You know, folks, it's having guests like Eric Barker that keeps us in the top 10. I mean, even for the last 4 minutes, that advice is so critical. And it's such great advice for anyone in business, really for anyone that wants to get anything done. But now, Eric, I just have to ask you a question. Well, you said, I mean, I drink the Kool-Aid. I love the way you framed it. But how many fight back on that? I'm like, no, you just, you know, kind of grind and grind through. Who cares if you're tired? I mean, how many push back on something that, I mean, frankly, I see as so obvious?
I think, you know, a lot of people do, because very often people, you know, people have established habits. You know, it's like everybody wants a magic pill. They don't want to have to change. They want to do what they're doing yet see different results, and that doesn't usually work. And you know, the truth is that by taking little steps, little changes, you know, you can make big differences. Another productivity tip that I really like, and this is from Cal Newport. He wrote the fantastic book Deep Work. He's a professor at Georgetown University. Mm-hmm. What he says is, he hates to-do lists. He thinks to-do lists are awful. He schedules everything. And the reason for this, and it makes perfect sense once you think about it, is that to-do lists don't take time into consideration. You can easily have a to-do list that has 27 hours of activities for a 24-hour day, because there's no recognition of how long things are going to take and how much you can actually get done. Versus when you say, hey, I've got 25 activities I need to get done and they each take an hour. Once you look at your calendar, you can realize this is not going to happen. There's no way this is going to get done. And then you can say, fine, I got to take these for Tuesday. I got to take these for Wednesday, maybe these for Thursday. And that's a realistic approach, as opposed to, and we've all been there, having a to-do list that you got to get to the bottom of it. And then you're shocked. Oh, my God, I didn't get to the bottom of the to-do. Of course you didn't, because you didn't think about time. So taking that to-do list and actually saying realistically, perhaps cynically, how long is each one of these things going to take? And then looking at your calendar, how much time do I have? Slotting each one and then saying to yourself, hey, this is what can actually get done in these days. Here's how much time I have. And then immediately, of course, what do? You prioritize. Here's the things that absolutely have to get done. They're time sensitive, or they're the most vital things that have to happen. And those go first. You plan it out. That's a way to be realistic instead of telling yourself pretty lies, which are not going to come true.
So, Eric, the obvious question on that, and of course that's, you know, great advice, but the obvious question is, how does someone stay disciplined, to make sure that others don't invade on their time so that they could meet their task list?
I mean, this is really critical. You know, one of the most powerful things that we have to realize is we have to learn to say no. You know, we have to be able to have protected time. Now, for some people, you know, you can do that very easily. If you have a direct supervisor, that can be a little bit trickier. But, you know, being able to say, I think it was Warren Buffett had a great quote where he said, the most successful people say no to almost everything, you know, and now that's very pithy. That sounds really easy. It's not really easy. But another tip that people use in order to address that is having what's called protected time. And that is what you see among a number of successful CEOs is they actually do their hard work an hour before they get in the office. Or some people, if you're more of a night owl, They have an hour or two after work when they actually get the hard work done. They designate a period of time when they know that they won't be disturbed in order to get the things done where they can't deal with interruptions. So looking at that and planning around that, the issue that's often critical is planning, thinking ahead of the situation and saying, I know what's going to happen. It happens every day. They're going to come into my office. There's going to be a fire. There's something's going to be burning down and I'm going to have to address it. And it's going to jump to the top of my to-do list. OK, well, if you know that's going to happen, rather than shaking your fist at the universe, sit there and say, OK, how can I get ahead of this? What do I have to do? You know, so. Often having protected time, saying here's an hour where things are inviolate. You know, I'm turning off notifications on my phone. I'm not checking email. And for 1 hour, 2 hours, if you can spare it, I'm going to make sure I'm moving the needle forward. I'm not going to do what Cal Newport calls shallow work. I'm going to do deep work. Shallow work is just, you know, responding to emails, busy work. That's the things that stop you from getting fired. Deep work are the things that actually move the needle forward, that actually get you promoted. So making sure you have a designated protected time when you can get things done is a good way to make sure that no matter what gets thrown at you, you're always moving the needle forward.
This show is certainly going to keep us in the top 10. I want to thank the listeners for again, their confidence in me and in the great guests that we constantly provide. A special thank you to Pesach Trapper, who constantly is out there scouring for great talent. This brings to mind also some of the points that Eric is raising. A past guest that we've had, Dan Sullivan, the founder and the leader of Strategic Coach, he talked about also planning out your days, your weeks, 90-day plans, 3-year plans, etc. And of course, that interview is available at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how Team Ahead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Hi, this is Yitzchak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC and around the world at MYBRadio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Eric Barker. His book is a Wall Street Journal bestseller, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success is Mostly Wrong. And, you know, it's certainly all those that have been tuned in since the beginning of the show realize this guy makes a lot of sense. Of course, it's his title is a little provocative there. You know, like, okay, well, okay, great. So he's making that comment. But if you know, I have the pleasure here of interviewing Eric, but this guy makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. And man, how long have you been working on this book?
What's interesting, I work on the blog for 8 years, and so kind of collecting the research. I do a lot of interviews with either academics or people who are undisputed experts. So for negotiation, I've interviewed Chris Voss, who's a former FBI hostage negotiator. For grit and resilience, I interviewed James Waters, who's a Navy SEAL platoon commander. So either people who are undisputed experts or academics who are researching these. I've been doing that for 8 years. And the book took about 2 years. Some of the research I pulled from the blog, a lot of it was very new material. But just drawing on as many resources as possible, because one-off studies, you know, we all hear that one little thing and eggs are good, eggs are bad. You know, it's always conflicting versus over a long period of time when studies get replicated time and time again, or we start to see trends. That's when we really think we can, you know, you're starting to get answers that are much more likely to be legit. So 8 years for the blog, 2 years for the book.
Hmm. So now we want to get to the what you've learned from the takeaways from Navy SEALs and even FBI negotiators. I mean, I'm sure you got some really good stuff to share.
Yeah, what's really interesting is after 9/11, the Navy wanted more the entire military wanted more special operations troops, but you know, it's very difficult. I mean, obviously the vetting and training is very difficult, so they didn't want to lower standards. So what they needed to do was figure out, you know, why do people make it through other than physical limitations? And the truth is, at first they didn't know. So the Navy did a study, and one of the things that they realized helped people get through BUDS, which is the vetting program for Navy SEALs, was actually optimism. Having an optimistic self-talk was really critical. And when you look at the research by Martin Seligman at the University of Pennsylvania, optimism, which, you know, it makes sense. It makes intuitive sense. If you think things are going to go well, you keep doing them. If you think things aren't going to work out, you stop. So when you have an optimistic perspective, you're much more gritty. You're much more resilient. You respond well to challenges and stress. And what Seligman found was that it comes down to the three P's. Basically, when you see good things as being personal, persistent, and pervasive, you move forward. In other words, when a good thing happens, do you say, hey, I was responsible for that? You feel like that's personal. When you feel like this good element, this good character trait, it's going to affect every area of my life, that's pervasive. And this is going to keep happening, then it's permanent. When we see the positive as permanent, persistent, and pervasive, we want to keep moving forward. We're optimistic. The problem is if you start to see the negatives as personal, persistent, and pervasive. When bad things happen and you say, that was my fault. When bad things happen and you say, this is going to affect every area of my life, it's pervasive. And this bad thing, this bad trait I have, it's just going to keep on happening. It's persistent. So basically what it's an issue of is arguing with yourself, of disputing things. When you say, oh, I'm lazy. It's my fault. I'm always going to be lazy, and I'm going to be lazy in every area. Well, are you always lazy? Well, not always lazy. Okay, well, then it's not, you know, it's not persistent. Well, are you lazy in every area of life? Well, then it's not pervasive. Basically, listening to the voice in your head. The research shows we say 300 to 1,000 words to ourselves every minute. And just checking the realism of those things and making sure that we're seeing the positive things as personal, persistent, and pervasive, and we're not seeing the negative things as personal, persistent, and pervasive. And that when we do see the negative things that way, that we question them. We question them, we argue with ourselves, and we see how those negatives can be positives.
Folks, no matter what industry you're in, there are great takeaways from this interview, as there is really with every show that we've had. So whether you're in sales, whether you're just leading a company, a manager, whatever the deal, listen to it. And it even pays to listen to it again in the future, because the takeaways here are fantastic. Eric, so let's talk about, let's skin the cat from the view of a salesperson. Are there any tips for, you know, negotiating successfully as a salesman that you could, you know, glean from those interviews, from what you've learned from Navy SEALs and FBI agents?
In terms of negotiating, well, first of all, in terms of sales, one myth that needs to get busted is a lot of people think that, you know, extroverts are better salespeople. And what the research shows is that actually it's the people in the middle, what are referred to as ambiverts, are actually the best salespeople, because extroverts often tend to be a little too pushy, and they tend to talk a little bit more than they listen. Introverts tend to be better listeners. However, they don't have enough pushiness to really close the sale. So actually, the people who are the best are the ambiverts, the people who are somewhat in the middle. So if you are an extreme extrovert, realize you may have to moderate that. You may have to talk a little less, listen a little more. And if you're an introvert, you need to make sure that you're pushing a little bit forward to actually get the deal closed. In terms of negotiation, one of the things that's really critical that you see across the board is that issue of listening. And now we all hear that. It's cliche. Listen, listen. Mm-hmm. But what's really critical is what FBI hostage negotiators refer to as active listening. And what active listening means is, rather than just sitting there, you know, like a corpse listening and not moving, active listening means letting the other person know that you hear them. So rather than merely passively listening, the other person is saying things and you are letting them know they are being heard. And how, there are a number of techniques in active listening that FBI hostage negotiators use. One thing they do is paraphrasing. Is every so often the person will, you know, say a number of things, and my friend Chris, the hostage negotiator, will say, you know, well, let me understand here. What I hear you saying is, and he'll give a quick summary. So not only is Chris listening, but Chris is showing the other person that he is paying attention, he's showing respect, and he understands. And the other person feeling that he understands, feeling that respect, that starts to build, you know, rapport. And that's the connection you want to think about, because Chris's big issue is that people usually think too much about the deal, and really human beings are motivated by feelings. Feeling that rapport, feeling that people are being listened to, that's really critical. You know, and so the issue of active listening, always making sure the other person knows that they are being heard, that they are being understood, those are the initial steps that leads to a connection that makes the other person want to deal with you. And if you listen to Deepak Malhotra, as a professor at Harvard Business School, when he's telling his students as they're graduating with their MBAs from Harvard, he tells the number one thing he tells them in terms of negotiating their first job out of MBA school, you know, is not be a hardball negotiator or ask for more and settle for less. The number one thing he says is they have to like you. They have to like you, because we all know, we deal with it. All of us know, if it's a friend, we treat them differently. We give them a little bit more. If it's family, we treat them a little bit. We give them more. We defer. We give them the benefit of the doubt. So that listening, that empathy, that rapport, letting the other person know that you hear them, you understand them, builds a connection. That connection makes them say, fine, if something's in the middle, they're going to give it to you. They feel that connection. They relate to you. They like you.
Mm. So the emotion does play a big role in negotiating.
Emotion is debatably the biggest element in negotiating. I mean, one of the most established principles in psychology is us versus them. Mm. Is do I feel like you're on my team or you're on the other team? And once you can move... You can move somebody. Move somebody feels like, hey, this person's on my side. They have my best interests. They're a friend, not a foe. Once you can make it feel not adversarial, we all know that's when deals happen. You know, are we looking for an excuse to kill the deal, or are we looking for an excuse to make the deal? And when we feel like somebody's, you know, on our side, they're part of our team, how do you connect with somebody? Oh, we're both from here. Oh, we both went to the same school. Seeking similarity is one of the most, you know, one of the most established principles in connecting with other people. Finding something they have, that you can both relate to. Again, building a connection, us versus them. That underlying feeling of we are the same, we are similar, that pushes it to people, like I said, wanting to make the deal versus wanting to kill the deal.
So are there any tips? Let's say someone is a hard-nosed businessman. Is there any ways that he could, you know, add some charisma to himself in order to implement some of the great techniques you're sharing?
I mean, you know, it's like charisma is very subtle and nuanced. You know, some people have it, some people don't. You know, I think something that we can all do is, you know, make sure that we're slowing things down, you know, that we're listening, you know, and that we're connecting with somebody, that they feel we're on our side. That's something most anybody can do. In fact, like I said, very often it's just an issue of listening, repeating back to somebody what they've heard. Another technique the FBI, the hostage negotiators use is called mirroring. When somebody's talking, it's literally as simple as repeating the last 1 to 3 words the person said with a question mark. So somebody says, you know, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about the number you gave us. The number you gave us? Yeah, well, the number you gave. And then it keeps the person talking. It keeps the person opening up, giving you more information, letting you know where the sticking points are that you can address them. Somebody says, you know, I don't know if we can do this. And you reply with, do this? Question mark. Yeah. And then the person's going to they end up talking more. And the more the person talks, the more that they're likely to feel listened. And the more information you get about what they're coming from, what their challenges are, and then you're better able to address them. You're better able to address the concerns they have. The other issue that a lot of people deal with is they're afraid that they're gonna get cheated. They're afraid the other person is going to exploit them. And David DeSteno is a researcher out of Boston. And what he has found is there's something called lengthening the shadow of the future. If you're afraid that you're going to get exploited in a deal, the longer you can make the deal last, the more steps you can build into the contract, the less likely you are to get screwed. The other person is to exploit you. Because if it's a one-off deal and you're never going to see this person again, that's a used car salesman situation.
Right.
You know, the guy's never going to see you again. Yes, he doesn't have to worry about you retaliating. Versus if he knows, we got two more steps in this deal. There's going to be a chance where this guy's going to come back and he's going to be angry at me. You know, that is what extends. So any contract that you can extend out, have more steps, have more opportunities, that's going to increase the other person's likelihood of playing fair.
Now, of course, in this segment, we did, you know, have great advice for even someone who's out there looking for a dream job. Any other tips on acing a job interview?
The really critical thing in terms of a job interview, you know, is again that connection is really critical. Is, you know, letting the other person know you are similar to them. Do your research ahead of time. Know everything about the company. Know everything specifically about the boss you're working for. You want to be able to connect with them. You want to understand them. You certainly don't want to look ignorant. And the other thing a lot of people have trouble with is, you know, self-promotion is necessary. You know, some people feel they don't want to brag. They don't want to put too much out there. But the job interview is the one time, at least, maybe first dates as well, but a job interview is a time when you definitely want to put your best foot forward. You definitely want to make sure they get that information about the good work that you've done in the past, the skills that you have. One of the depressing bits of research is narcissists do better in job interviews. They do very well because they're not afraid to self-promote. They're not afraid to put themselves out there. Now, narcissists have problems later on, but on first meeting, they usually do much better because they're not afraid to tell other people, here's what I'm capable of, here's what I've done, here's what I'm going to do for you. So being hesitant in that job interview, you only have, whatever, a half hour, an hour to get that point across. You need to make sure that you push a little bit. It's one of the few times where being a little bit, you know, a little bit pushy, a little bit cocky about what you're doing actually pays off.
Man, time flies when we do this show because it's so much fun for me, I have to admit. talking with thought leaders, business leaders. This is really special. My guest this evening was Eric Barker, Barking Up the Wrong Tree. That book is a Wall Street Journal bestseller. It's, of course, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Eric, as we bring the interview to a close, share any final thoughts with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Yeah, the really critical thing I would say in terms of success is a two-parter. Is success often comes down to knowing yourself. In other words, knowing your signature strengths. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that you are uniquely good at. And then the second part is picking the right pond. The second part is finding an environment, a company that rewards those unique skills that you have. Some people often, they know themselves, but they don't find the place that rewards it. Or other people work for a great company, but they haven't aligned their skills with it. When you take the two parts of that, when you align knowing the skills you have and finding an environment that rewards them, that is the way to find success in many areas of life.
Eric, amazing. And folks, you do yourself well by checking out the book. The book, of course, is available at bookstores nationwide, at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Barking Up the Wrong Tree by Eric Barker. The subtitle is The Surprising Science Behind Why Everything You Know About Success is Mostly Wrong. Of course, it is a Wall Street Journal bestseller. Well, stay tuned for additional programming here at 77 WABC and tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.